See, Americans can't take this. See? And I know that. That's why I mess with them. Because I don't lose. So, here we go. Now, this is amplified. Verse 11. You there? Let us, that's me, I'm included in this, therefore, be zealous. You see that I am? And I am everywhere I go. It don't matter if it's with intellectuals. It don't matter if it's with savages. It don't matter if it's with rebel group. We just had an astounding move in South Mexico in Chiapas. I was just there. These rebel groups that are there, they let us in. We got like 40 or 50 churches with these people. And you ought to see these guys. They come up. I just cannot get over it. I just absolutely can't get over God's power. They come there. They're hostile. They're murderous. Their heart is to kill and to take over stuff for their families so they can live. And, you know, whether they're right or wrong, that's not my department. My department is to get them born again and then get them healed. The governments fight and do what they're going to do. And that's not my job. It don't matter the color of my skin. That's not my job. My job is to show them Jesus. And I'm telling you, these guys come up there, and I mean, they look like some sort of a... They got stripes of bullets and hand grenades and these guns and knives and awesome looking to me. You know, and they come up there, you know, and they're going to kill you. You're going to die. And you just stand there and look at them. And you tell them, you know what? It's amazing to me how you have to have these bordones, crutches, that you can't prove that your God has power unless you have that thing in your hand. I can prove my God has power, and I have nothing. To you, I'm defenseless, but to me, I have all power, and His name is Jesus. Do you see the difference? You see the difference? And it don't matter if it's cancer. It don't matter what His name is. And they beat you, and they beat you, and they beat you. But in a minute, they're not. They will bow to the name of Jesus. I lost one of my friends the other day. A lady, been working in our work ever since she was born. She was born in our work. When I was there, I was still there. And her family got saved, and she was born in the work. She never knew witchcraft. See, that's my job, you see, to take over. You understand? It's my job to destroy the work of the demon, to be zealous for God. And this lady grew up in our church, and she married one of our main pastors, and oh, they're good kids. They're like my grandkids. I love them. And she was come home from church the other day, and she got bit by a mawakiti. To you, that means nothing, but it's a little bit stronger venom than y'all's rattlers, or cottonmouth, or your copperhead. And there is no deliverance if Jesus don't deliver you. These snakes are 100% mortal. Just like the cobras in Africa. And we have had for a number of years, this irritates me so bad, there's no describing to you how aggressive I feel. To you, I look old and not that, you know, scary. But I'm going to tell you, the devils in your area hate you for letting me come here. Because they know that somebody in here is going to hear this message, and you're going to latch on to it, and faith is going to dwell and build. And what you already have, it will build and hook and cause more dynamic power. It's called residing anointing. That's what it's called. And so she got bit, and so we prayed, and she's married to another guy and all that, but she's still one of my people, that I cherish, that's important to me. We have nearly 500 pastors, and I don't even know all of his names anymore, or their wives and kids. Our work is so large anymore. You know, it's intimate when it's smaller, But when God actually hits the place and you start taking over, you might as well be ready to lose some of that intimacy you cherish so much. Some of the reason some people don't grow is because they won't let God move. They like it the way it is, and they don't just leave us alone right here. So, but we prayed for her. We thought we won because in our work, there are 11 diseases that we're 100% on. You understand that term? That everybody we pray for gets healed. I'm not that way with all of them. I want to be. I hope I get there. And it's my goal to be there. But it takes zeal of the Holy Ghost to do it. You hear me? You have to have continuous zeal. You can't let anything interfere with you. You have to be single-minded, single-hearted. You have to drive everybody around you completely berserk because you won't come off of it. That's me. All right? But it works if it's in faith in Jesus and you're looking to help your communities, right? All right. The fifth day, she all of a sudden went into cardiac arrest. They rush her to they didn't tell. Now see, this is the problem you get into in fear. You make mistakes. The Bible is clear. See, all of y'all in here, when pressure hits you and stress hits you, there are certain avenues you take first instead of Jesus. Every one of you are the same. You're organized. It's organized. It's a government deal. They've taught you. It's how it is. And you believe that, but it's wrong. Your first choice should be Jesus. Amen. And lots of other things would work out better for you. But at the fifth evening, the battle was on, and we lost her. Right? So these people talked one of my best pastors into rushing her to the hospital instead of calling us first. That is a mistake. All right. So they did it. All right. Once the mistake is made, my reaction is to try to intervene and change and ask for mercy and hope for Jesus' touch. Override all the mistakes. All right. Which he's capable of doing. Anytime he wants to do it, he can do that. Amen. He don't do it a lot of times. I don't understand why. But you got to understand, I don't care. He's in charge. And it seems calloused, me saying that. It seems like non-caring, not, you know, that. That's not true. I'm willing to die for these people I work with. I have been shot, beat, stoned, left for dead 3 times, imprisoned. You can't believe the times. I have scars all over my body from caring. It's not that. He's either in charge or you are. All of a sudden, my phone rings. It's, 10 o'clock at night or something. I was just in bed, and, boy, I've got a long day tomorrow. I've got a big campaign, blah, blah, blah. Same old story. It's that way every day. Help. All right, this is what y'all going to do. You're going to go get this elder and that elder. You're going to do this. You're going to do that, blah, 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 blah. What we do. They go. 11:30, my phone rings again. She's gone. She died. First thing they did, the only thing they did at that hospital killed her. All right, she's an Indian, so to them it's different than it is to you. So help, Brother David. So I get up, get dressed, put together an army. We went. Elders, I brought them in. You see, I'm trying to catch up. You see what happens when you're steady playing catch up? You're always a step behind when you were a step ahead. And because of one mistake, now you're constantly a step behind. It don't matter. You bring in the army. You bring in faith. You bring in men of power that are renowned for getting the works of God. But you got to understand, son, you don't always win. And see, I don't want to be critical. And I don't want to be offensive. Please don't take it that way, but you're going to, some of you. So let me think about it. Yep, I'm all right with it. My night will go just as good with it or without it. I assure you. Man, I was hostile. I get to this hospital, and I got the Calvary, buddy. And we go in there, and they haven't even waited on these people yet. It's because they're Indians. Your world, you don't grab that, because you go and grab a lawyer, and you go and sue, man. You know, I'll tell you what your rights are. You leave that little blue book you call a passport behind and go to another country. I'll let you know what your rights are. You need to praise God for your nation. You think your freedoms are being infringed on, son? You are a free people. You need to be rejoicing because you're free. Instead of sitting around drinking Starbucks and being hostile to everybody when you ain't still going to do nothing but just blow off a bunch of steam. Do you see why people hate me? It's because I tell the truth. You need to organize yourself and just get you a bucket full of hate and go out there to the demon and destroy his work. It's legal to hate the enemy of God. That's legal. It says in my Bible, hate evil. Love Jesus. See? So I walk up there, tap on a little window. You know, they always got them little windows where you can't get to nobody. Hello? And they just drop everybody and say, yeah, what can we do for you? Here's what you can do for me. You can tend to these Indians right here and you can get me that woman that died. I want her. We're going to pray for her. God raise her from the dead. That's what you can do for me. You know what? It wasn't even an hour. We had her in the back of my truck. That's awesome. But you know what? It's been years since we lost somebody to a snake bite. And we lost. We prayed for her all night. And in the morning, we buried her. I lost one of my favorite children. Look at me. I hate the demon. That's good for me to lose. It makes me a better person. Because that I am commanded to love my God in all situations. Isn't that something? No, but Brother David, I won't. I know what you want. What does God want? We don't have a clue. But we're going to get a clue. Because we're going to obey His word. Look right here. We are going to let us therefore be zealous. Listen to this. Look what it says. Exert ourselves. There's some of you haven't exerted yourself in years. The biggest exertion you do is reach for the Dr. Pepper. I want you to exert yourself physically, mentally, spiritually. I want you seeking God. You want the power of God? Go get it. It's available. I'm telling you, just in Australia just now, watch what I am blessed. I got invited to this Asian church in Australia. Second largest people group in Australia is Asians. So I get there. There's thousands of them. My goodness, this place is a big old church. 72 nations represented. You want to know how to preach to the world? It's easy. Get them in a pile. It's easy, man. I used to struggle and God, oh God. No, just go in. So easy now. So I'm sitting there and they got all this fancy deal going and I'm the important person. And I'm sitting there trying to tell them, you got it wrong. Jesus is who's important. It's not about humanity. It's about Jesus. And humanity does well when it's Jesus. So we're sitting there and this woman walks up there. I'd never seen her. I apologize to y'all. I don't hang out in famous places. I hang out in the mountains. You see, I polished my boots. It's just for you. I was just noticing my britches didn't have no wrinkles on them. I told Miss Hogan, thanks, man. Help me out. This lady gets up there. You should have heard this woman sing. I told myself, Phil, she's got to be important. The way she moves and her vocabulary when she was talking and how she carries herself, she's important. I didn't know she's the number one singer lady person for Asia. I didn't have a clue. But I have the advantage. I don't care. Woo-hoo! She's important. Good for her. Now, what does she need? Got to be something she needs. Wealth, fame, power. She's got all those things. But there's got to be something Jesus can fix. Well, I didn't know it. How was I to know? She had been run over by a drunk driver. Her bus thing that she travels in got hit. And she got all these broke bones, back, upper body, cracked skull. Nearly all of her bones in her body was broke. But because of her ability to perform, you couldn't tell it while she was singing, right? And I was just captivated. She was beautiful. She was, man, wow, you know, she was everything. And I'm just looking at her. This is nice. So I asked the pastor of the whole deal, who that? He goes, what? You don't know who she is. Excuse me? No. Oh, she's just the most famous person, blah, 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 in our world, blah, 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 blah. Oh, that's nice. Had the same value it did before. But guess what I got to do? I got up there and did my little talk like I'm doing now. Just talk, 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 talk. Won't ever shut up. Just, woo, just attack everything. Ah! And then these bodyguards come up in the prayer line. Ooh, scary. These suckers are huge. And they walk right up to me. Boom, boom, and they're just looking at me. And they're carrying the stuff, too. And so I'm just checking them out, you know. Wow, these guys are big. I bet they're dangerous, too. And then this lady comes peeking around them, you know. And I said, that was a great song, by the way. He said, Brother David. I said, what do you need? She said, I need you to pray for me. She never told me what. She was all busted all up and all this therapy and all this money and all this hospital and operations and on and on and on. I said, okay, that's a deal. Now, are these guys with you? She said, they are. I said, let me take care of them first. Jesus, and I mean they flew. Son, you should have seen it. It was awesome. They flew. And they got knocked out. Not now. It ain't no hope. Now, because they was big. And they took up like three people's space. So now it's all clean. And this is awesome. I love this. So I reach over to her, you know, because I could tell by everybody's attention. It's easy to figure it out if you just pay attention. Just touched her, and I mean God hit her. Her husband grabbed her. Soon as he touched her, then the ushers grab them because they're important people. They all go. Now it's a real big space. Now it's really clean. So I go on, do my business. I had several thousand people to pray for of us, so we're going on. You should have seen it. There was, golly, it was awesome. I mean bones popping and snapping, people being healed. Eyes opening, deaf ears. Wow. Wow. Do you hear me? Jesus. So the very next night we're there, and there she's up there again. This time she just went marching up there, you know, and she's a lot more I would say we'd call it loose. And she gets up there, she starts spinning, and the pastor comes over. Did you hear? I said, how could I hear? I can't speak y'all's language. I don't hear nothing. Listen to me. That lady, in the night, they carried her home. She was drunk. They had to put her to bed. In the middle of the night, when she woke up, fire was on the top of her head, the bottom of her feet. And guess what? All the operations, pins, bolts, screws, gone. Completely healed. Isn't that good? Woohoo! Exert yourself in the Lord. You hearing me? Well, we made half a verse, Miss Hogan. It's not going to go well, it don't look like. So, let us therefore be zealous, exert ourselves, strive diligently to enter the rest of the Lord, of God, to know and experience it for ourselves. It's not good enough for you to come out here and for me to have all the fun. You hear me? It's just not God's way. We need to experience this for ourselves. All right? And it says, that no one fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience into which they fell in the wilderness. Verse 12. For the word that God speaks is alive. And it's full of power. See, here's the deal. Another one of our kids, she was born in the gospel. It's the church where these stories are too long. They're very complex, and because I'm talking about 30-something years of work here, but 30-something years ago, there was this guy demon-possessed in a 4x4 cave. Before a wood deal, he ate people. He was demon possessed. Not the kind you do where somebody's taking your parking spot at Walmart. Well, you possessed devil, get out of my parking spot. No, that's a different kind of possession. Before you actually lose faculties, and demons have charge of you. They're very powerful, actually. So they heard about me believing that God, I was young in those days, and I didn't know you wasn't supposed to do this. And so they invited me to this village, and it took me 2.5 days to get there because, oh, I just wasn't good in them days. And my truck was, anyway, it was mud and, jungle, And I couldn't speak the language very good, and I didn't know Indians very well, and so, That's how you have it. Trouble. But I found them anyhow. So I go walking up there finally. What can I do for you? ¿Qué necesitan? This old man walks up, white-headed fella. And I didn't know, I was still too young, that the white-headed people are advanced past 80, where I come from. In the Indian tribes, they keep their hair, their teeth, their eyesight, all that. It's really amazing how y'all think they are not very smart, but they seem to be able to keep their hair. And they don't have to color it. And their teeth. You see, I didn't color mine. He says, my son is possessed, embrujado, he's bewitched. So I said, all right, I didn't know you're not supposed to do that. It's supposed to be all this fancy theology mixed in here and all these questions and all this stuff supposed to go on before you just go and just attack a prince of the power there. I didn't know you wasn't supposed to do that. So I just go over there, and they brought me to this little, I don't know, 5 or 6 feet deal. You know, it wasn't very very tall, and they had 3 locks on it, undid these chains, and they opened this big old wood door. So I go in there, you know, and I mean, it stinks in there now. We're talking feces and urine, and this guy's fingernails was long, and his hair was long and matted with feces and all that. And he gets up. I mean, he's nude. Yeah, it was my very first time to encounter anything like that, you see. And so I didn't have any experience. So I figured the best thing to do is just take him on. I hadn't run into nothing yet Jesus couldn't figure out. So these chains are rattling and it's scary and it's dark and I can't see very good. You know, my eyes still worrying with trying to get used to the dark. And all of a sudden I made this thing out. You should have seen. It was a frightening deal. I mean, it was, you know, all kind of noises and here he comes, chains. And so I said to myself, self, he going to eat you. He's going to have him some white boy tacos. So I said, I might as well just attack it. So I did. I went after it. So he's coming. I'm going. It's a big, fancy, you know, confrontation thing. But then I got up there, and he's coming, and that's, finally he... So I said, wow, that's nice. If his devil is so powerful, why is he backing up? So I said, all right, here's the deal, devil. You're not going to talk to me, mess with me, my family, or anybody. It's what you're going to do. You're going to lead this person, and you're going to leave him alone. And you're going to do it, not because I say so, but because the name of Jesus commands you to. Because I am an ambassador for Christ. And I've been sent here on invitation by the great Holy Ghost to let you know this is your last day to run this guy. So I want you out of here, and then, by the way, take your baggage, and don't come back. You know, I probably didn't do it like y'all smart people or nothing, but you know what? It worked. And now the place where that one guy got delivered, we have 175 churches. One old man invited me to come, and I got in there and was scared and everything else. But God delivered this guy. Now we got 175 churches, every kind of miracle there is. Ooh, oh, it's wonderful. Wow! But it usually starts in a box with a principality. A bunch of chains and stink. Usually. That's what I've noticed through experience. So you know what happened? We get moving along here. Listen, there are so many stories hooked to this. But the one I want to tell you about, the reason you need to exert yourself and exercise yourself, is simple. The brother to the man in the cage is one of my best friends in life now. He is the leader. He's a Nahuatl Indian. And he's running all these churches. He's an amazing fella. All of his kids, all of them, work for us. They're pastors and preachers and all that now. He had stacks of them. And, all right, so we got this whole thing going our way now. We own it. It's awesome. We took it over. But what you got to realize is because you exert yourself once, that's not enough. It's a continual exertion. It's a continual war. You must realize that you must keep seeking God, that you must keep having faith, that you must keep believing in the Word of God that's alive. We was just down in South Mexico with all these rebels and all that the other day, and a great deal happened. Fun. Now watch. This young lady grew up, she was born into now instead of idolatrous witchcraft, heathenism, demons, now they're Christians, the whole family, right? And so she's born there, and she comes here and tells the pastor. Now, this is an Indian girl. Now, y'all's rights, like I said, you think you have some. Where we live, the women still don't, especially young women. And so she goes up to her daddy and to the leaders of the work. She says, I am leaving. Well, duh, no you're not. And so it was quite a deal, right? So we told her, what they did, they finally brought it to me. It got so, we'll call it exaggerated. It was looking to split our work. Because there's a growing taking place in all of Mexico. It's a great thing happening. But at the same time, it's causing some serious chafing. All right? And modernization's taken over, but it's difficult to do. Growing is always traumatic. Now, what's it? This is amazing. This young woman come back after 10 days of prayer and fasting. We all did it. I said, no. Well, I always, that's what my remedy for problems is always 10 to 15, 20 days of fasting. That's all that's involved. Everybody group together, seek God, and allow Jesus to speak. And we'll be all right with whatever He says. That's what I believe is right. So we did that. And she comes back and she said, God still spoke to me. None of us were comfortable. Because what she was wanting to do, it wasn't just leave the village. It was leave the state. She had never left the village. A village 2 miles wide. It includes all the crops and all the land and everything. She had never left it. And now she said God told her to leave and go north, which is on the border here, to the largest university in Tamaulipas, northern Mexico. Liberal, no! Everything in me, please don't do this. Ah! We need you, darling. You make a great pastor's wife. Don't go. Brother David, what are you going to do? Are you going to let me? I said, darling, if God told you to go, I have no way to stop you. You may or may not agree with that. We were very uncomfortable with her doing what she was doing, but she was emphatic that God told her. So we had to let her try. But your chances of losing her are almost 100%. You're right. But what if God spoke to her? If God spoke to her, and we don't let her leave, our chances of losing her are 100%. So it's a problem, isn't it now? So, we let her go. And we helped her. We blessed her. We sent her out as a missionary, you know, because that's actually what she was doing. Watch what God didn't take long to show us she was right. Now watch. She goes up there, a little humble Indian girl, never left the village, right? She can't speak good Spanish. She speaks Nahuatl. She gets up to this university. They accepted her with the highest marks. She rose to the top of her class. When she graduated, the governor of the state of Tamaulipas was present. When she took her diploma and walked off the platform, he was standing there saying, I've got a government job for you. You name the prize. That's exciting. She said, okay, I'll think about it. And she took the job. Now watch this. Of course, she let us all in on all this. Now watch this. I'm into prison work. I wasn't. I'm Indian. I'm village. I'm what I was asked to do in the beginning. I still do all that. But now we do all that too. And one of the things is prison work. Well, what we didn't know, that the government of Mexico had built all these really amazing big prisons, and because of the cartel, the problems with the drugs, and it's amazing what's going on. She got given by the government of Mexico the control of all these new prisons. Now here's her words to me. Here's her words to me. Tell Brother David, I've got him a new project. So what's this? The other day I was in a campaign right here on the border in Reynosa, Tamaulipas. Now what's this? The guy that works for the governor is called Presidente Municipal. It's like a mayor, kind of like. Oh, but he's over a large area of land, lots of people and all that. Our brothers went to him. This is, you got to understand what I'm telling you. And they said, look, we want to have a campaign. He said, what do you need? Well, we want to block off the highway. We want to put up these big tents. And we want to have healing crusades. He said, when do you want to do this? They told him. He said, all right, I'll let you, and I'll give you police escort. How many people you need to help you do this? They're free. I get there the other day. The streets are blocked off. Police are everywhere. They're going getting busloads of folks and bringing them in. The police are bringing these people in for us. And this lady's there that was one of our little girls that grew up in one of our villages. She's waiting on and serving everybody, and she is right under the governor of Tamaulipas. Did you hear what I'm saying to you? I'm telling you, you limit God. God don't limit you. You hear me? Listen, I'm telling you the truth. The Word of God is alive. It's full of power, making it... Now watch, I'm going to stop finally. But watch, it says... I really don't want to. Man, I'm invigorated. Woo! You ought to see how that scares Harvard people when I do that. The Word that God speaks is alive. The Word that God speaks is alive. Now I know you grew up knowing these verses, but somewhere along the way, we got to believe them. You hear me? Today's a good day. Woo! See, you don't know it, but I just spent 5 years going through the lowest belly of hell, 7 diseases in my body, and look at me healed. I'm serious. This feels good to be healed. This woman sitting right here, 3 diseases, incurable, and look at her healed. See, and people want me to calm down. You know, you tone it down just a little. No. I'm looking for ways to exert myself. This thing in me is so alive and so powerful. Honey, get you some of it. It's really real. You know what? Let me tell you how God has affected my life. I am a dyed to the wool forward man. So I went down and bought me a GMC. I'm a dyed to the wool Levi man. So I went and bought me some Wranglers. I am a Pepsi hand. So I went and got me some Coca-Cola. I know how to deal with gods. You just change God. You don't let things run your life. You let that great Holy Ghost run your life. People tell me all the time, well, brother, that's who I am. No, that's who you want to be. The world ain't never seen a man that God's looking for. I'm right. I'm telling you, I have done millions of miles around this planet. I have preached in every hole in the wall. I have fought every known demon. And I'm still alive. Hallelujah. Every tributary of the Amazon canal. Caught and ate piranhas. Them things is good. I'm serious. Eat chunos. At 18,000 feet, close to Lake Titicaca. Woo-hoo! Had the Sendero Luminoso putting their guns on me, and they let me go Because they said, you know what they said to me? Señor Luminoso, they had their gun. You know what they told me? Váyate a predicar porque tú ya sabes a sanar su gente. Hallelujah! Sendero de Luminoso, one of the most feared rebel groups in the world, held me and my wife at gunpoint, and then they asked me a question. Are you the guy that preaches the gospel and heals our people? Yeah. You're welcome. Isn't that awesome? Come on! Oh! Come on, Holy Ghost! I'm serious. This is wonderful. It says in my Bible, making it active. You are full of the Word of the Lord. It needs to be activated. Listen to these words. Operative. It needs to be operating in you. You need to let it. Not fear. Faith. Energizing. You see, I'm Energizer Bunny's a sissy. And look at this last one in a effective. I'm telling you, it's effective. I had one of the greatest known names of Christianity tell one of my missionaries the other day, how's Brother David? Oh, he's doing good. He said, yeah, I know he is. This is the guy talking. I was just in five continents. I preached in front of the multitudes everywhere I go. That's all they're talking about. Brother David, he's wild. He's effective. He's energized. You know what? That's right. I couldn't even hold a coffee cup. And I died in my boy, one of my son-in-law's in my daughter's arms. But see, I told them to raise the dead. And they laid their hands right on their daddy. And God brought me back. And I don't have no clue why. But now I'm energized. And I'm effective. And it's the word of the Lord that's alive and powerful. Oh, there's so many stories. I got just, all these are papers full of miracles. We'll do some more later. Will you please stand up? Now I need you to let Jesus touch you. I need you to be healed. There's bound to be somebody in your life that's affected right now by some sort of trauma, stress, from hell. Jesus. Look. I have this ranch in Mexico. It was a gift from God, and I've been working on it. You know, I do cows and that, and I got a real nice herd of cows, and I mess with them all the time. It's a fun hobby. They're good eating too. Somehow I got a hold of me some hogs. Man, them things is as big as a cow almost. They're awesome. I really like eating. Especially the chicharrones. Man, them things are good. God gave us these turkeys and these chickens. And then listen to this. There's this Indian that I met one day. You know how I met him? Because I heard about this garbage dump. And this idea came in my mind, how nice would it be to go out there? And just get a sack full of beans and corn and chilies and just food. So I went out this garbage dump. You know what I saw? Beggars. You know what God saw? Kings. Amen. So I'm traipsing through this stinking infested, disease-riddled place. And I walk up on this fella, and I take him by the hand. It's really easy. Watch. Let me show you. See how easy that is? Jesus. Now that's not hard now. Change your life. You don't know it. You just watch. It's easy. Look. Look how easy. Jesus. You see, that's not hard. Just look a fella right in the face. Just say Jesus. You see, that's not hard. The thing is, it changes people. Holy Ghost, come on now. You know what happened? Now watch this. This fella got born again. Went to his village, and all of a sudden now we got this big old giant church out there. He's over 145 of our churches now. So I saw a beggar. And God sent me to bless a king. That's nice, huh? It's true, you know. You know what he did? An idea came into this king, not beggar, mind. How they've been doing their fruit trees for like 3,000 years or something. Lots of years. He said, what if we did this? And all of a sudden, it worked. His business, now he's got four businesses, four houses, four trucks, an Indian. I don't mean nothing to you. But that's amazing. Like a billionaire type fellow. And he's running all these churches for us. Now watch this. I went out there not long ago and he says to me, how much land you got in that ranch of yours? I said, I got lots of land. He said, God bless my tree. I said, really? I said, I'll fire up the tractor. I went out there and started busting land up. Now listen now. He brought me the other day 2,000 trees. Orange trees. Every kind of citrus you can think of, man, I'm talking about amazing, amazing trees. Now watch this. Out of 2,000 trees, I lost 5. You're supposed to lose 5 to 8% of everything you plant because they just don't grow. They just can't take. But we didn't. We lost 5 trees. Now, what's this? They asked me, what you going to put between them trees? I said, whatever comes out of your mouth. I said, you know what? I'll bet you, Brother David, God would bless you if you planted some corn, beans, and chilies. I said, you know what? That's a great idea. I'll fire up the tractor. So I went out there and fired up the tractor, blusted off about 25 acres of land. Went out there, got me this pile of beans and corn and planted all this stuff. You know what? The rains didn't come. That ain't got nothing to do with the blessings of God. See, when you think naturally, that's what's going to happen. But if when you think godly, then that's what's going to happen. I'm serious. All the crops failed. Guess whose didn't? Moi. Mine. You know what? I'm not even there. We have double beans hanging off of our little bitty old plants. Our corn crop is bumper. Listen to me. If you need help, the person to ask is heaven. It's easy. You want to know how? Help. It's easy. It's not hard. It's not fácil, hermano. No más, por favor, ayúdame, Cristo. Es fácil, no es difícil. En todo área de la vida, no importa qué. Se llama Cristo vive. Aleluya. Aleluya. Do you understand? They told me that if you get one tree, now what? This is not legal, what I'm fixing to tell you. But there are blessings that comes from God where trees and plants produce year-round instead of one-crop system. There's a way to get God to touch you, and I didn't know it. I'm a new guy on the block. So I think everything's supposed to work according to God's laws. So they tell me that if an entire village, say 2,000 heads of family, have all these crops, and if you get one tree in the whole village, they consider the village blessed that can produce crops year-round. In other words, you're picking every 2 months, oranges or tangerines or Reinas of Valencia, Santo Domingos. It don't matter the name. It takes God's touch. Because the tree is going to obey God's rules unless he decides to tweak it. You know, we have two trees in the same orchard. It's never been heard of in the Indian. You know what they told me? Is there any way we can go co-op with you? I said, no, but we could do Jesus op. You know what I'm going to do with all these crops? Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to feed everybody. Everybody. Why not? Why can't you? You know why? Because we're too worried about ourselves. What if we worried about loving Jesus? And let him take care of our crops and cows. You've never heard this probably, but we can't eat our cows as fast as they're producing. What a problem. I'm trying to cut that herd, and we just can't. I could just go out there and slaughter them all. Of course I can. But there's systems and ways to do things. But I'm having to increase my percentage more and more and more because God's blessing. We're not losing any calves. You hear me? And our hogs, our sows, instead of getting 10 or 11, we're getting 15 to 20 piglets. And we're losing none of them. Hear me. God is with us. You got to talk to them things. And here's what you tell them. God took you to do a certain thing, so help yourself. It's easy. That's all you say. And when you tell them cows, pigs, crops, money to obey you, it does. But when you believe in the system of Babylon, you're going to lose. I'm out. I'm from another planet. Can you tell? All right. Now then, that fancy, pretty songs. You know, all of us grew up in the gospel, four or five generations of us, and everybody can do everything. I never did. I never could play or sing. My lot was raise the dead. I tried everything else. And all I could do was raise the dead. But I'm pretty good at that sometimes. Because heaven's amazing. But it's good to lose sometimes. Do you know any songs about the blood of Jesus? If you do, would you please play something? And it don't make me any difference what. As long as it praises God for the precious blood of the covenant of the Holy One. He's amazing. Fibromyalgia is a demon. Osteoporosis is a devil. They lose. Isn't that amazing, huh? So that's what we're going to do. Holy Ghost!